Pasha blushed.
Why, thank you, Mole. I think.
Warren looked to Richard.
I didn't know if you would really come. Most people say they will, but they never do. I'm so pleased you did. Come this way. Pasha, I'm afraid you must wait here.
What?
She leaned forward, and Richard thought that maybe her breasts might spill out if she didn't straighten up.
I'm going too.
Warren's eyes widened.
But I must take him into one of the back rooms. You are a novice. Novices are not allowed.
She smiled warmly as she did straighten up.
Mole, if a novice is not allowed, how could a new student be allowed?
Warren's eyes narrowed.
He is in the prophecies. If the prophets saw fit to write about him, they could hardly intend he not see it.
Warren seemed considerably more confident down here in his element than he had been up in the palace. He stood his ground with confidence. Pasha rubbed his shoulder. He glanced down at the hand.
Warren, you're the mole. You show others the way. I'm the one in charge of Richard. I show him the way. I would be neglecting my duty if I allowed him to go somewhere without me this soon. I'm sure you can make an exception for me. Can't you, Warren? It's to help Richard, to help understand the prophecy and how he is to serve the Creator. Isn't that what's important?
Warren finally took his eyes from her and told them to wait. He went off to the two sisters and spoke with them in hushed tones. He finally came back wearing a smile.
Sister Becky said it would be permitted. I told her you understand a bit of High Dahiran. In case she asks, say you do.
What's High Dahiran? Warren, you want me to lie to a sister?
I'm sure she will not ask.
Warren turned his face away.
I told the lie for you, Pasha, so you would not have to.
She leaned closer to him.
Warren, if you're caught telling lies about such things, you know what they will do.
He gave her a small, haunted smile.
I know.
What will they do? Richard asked, suddenly suspicious. Warren waved impatiently.
Never mind. You two come along.
They had to hurry after him as he scurried off into the darkness. They went past rows of shelves placed tight together, coming at last to a solid wall of rock. Warren put his hand to a metal plate, and part of the wall moved away, revealing another chamber beyond. Inside the small room sat a table and maybe a dozen rows of shelves. Four lamps made it seem bright inside by comparison. Inside, Warren touched another plate, and the section of wall slid closed, entombing them in stone and silence. He pulled out a chair for Pasha and had Richard sit to her right. Finally, he pulled a leather-bound book from the shelves and carefully placed it before Richard.
Please don't touch it, Warren said. It's very old and fragile. Of late, it has been getting more use than usual. Let me turn the pages.
Who's been using it? Richard asked.
The prelate?
A smile twitched across Warren's lips.
Whenever she is to come down here, her two big guards come first and make everyone leave. They clear the vault so the prelate can have the place to herself, and people won't know what she reads.
Her big guards?
Pasha asked.
You mean the two sisters in her outer office?
Yes, Warren said. Sister Alicia and Sister Fenella.
We saw them today, Richard said. They didn't look that big to me. Warren lowered his voice meaningfully.
If you ever cross them, you will think otherwise. They will seem very big indeed.
Richard took pause at Warren's expression. If the place is cleared out, how do you know she's been reading this book?
I know.
He turned to the book on the table.
I know. She has been doing most of her reading in this room of late. I live with these books. When someone touches them, I can tell. You see this smudge in the dust? It's not mine, it's the prelate.
Warren carefully lifted open the cover and, with both hands giving support, turned the yellowed pages. Richard didn't recognize any of the words, or some of the letters, for that matter. On one of the pages that Warren flipped, Richard thought he recognized something. A drawing. It sparked a deep memory. Warren flipped over more pages, finally stopping. He leaned over Richard's shoulder, pointing.
This is the prophecy you spoke of.
Warren moved around to the right side of the table.
This is the original, in the prophet's own hand. Few have ever seen it. Do you understand, High Dahiran?
No, it just looks like scribbling to me.
Richard glanced over the meaningless writing.
You said there was argument over its meaning?
Warren's eyes had an intense gleam.
There is. You see, this is a very old prophecy, perhaps as old as the palace, maybe older. This is the original prophecy. It's in High Dahiran, as is everything in this room. Very few people understand High Dahiran. Richard nodded. So people have only read the translations, and there is reason to believe that those translations may not be accurate.
You understand,
Warren whispered. His movements became more lively.
Yes, yes, you see the problem. Most don't. Most think one thing in one language must mean a certain thing in another. In order to complete the translation, they settle on an interpretation that fits their view of the meaning, but in so doing, they create a conspectus that may or may not be the meaning of the prophecy.
But that doesn't take into account possible different meanings, Richard said. So when they translate it, they give it only one version. They can't translate its ambiguity. Warren thrust himself forward in excitement.
Yes, you have it. That's what they can't understand, and so they argue over the various translations, as if there is a right way and a wrong way to do it. But this is Haidharin.
Warren's words trailed off. Richard was staring at the page. The images there were drawing him in. It was almost as if they were murmuring to him. He had never seen such words before, but somehow they resonated with something deep within him. His hand slowly reached out, drawn to one of the words. His finger came to rest on it.
This one,
Richard whispered, as if from a trance. The strokes of the letters seemed to lift from the page as if alive and coil around his finger, the dark lines caressing, fondling with intimate familiarity. Before his eyes, too, floated the image of the Sword of Truth. Warren's white face came up from the book.
Drauka, he whispered. That's the word that is the center of the controversy. Fior Grissa Ostrauka, the bringer of death.
Pasha leaned over.
So what's the controversy? You mean those words could be translated differently?
Warren made a vague gesture with his hand.
Well, yes and no. That's the literal translation of the words. It's their meaning that is in dispute.
Richard pulled his hand back. He banished the image of the sword.
Death. It has different meanings.
Warren practically laid on the table as he leaned over.
Yes! You understand! Death is plain as pie, Pasha said.
Warren straightened and rubbed his hands together.
No, Pasha, not in Haidharin. The weapon the sisters carry, the Dakra, its name comes from this word. Drauka means death, as in dead, like if I were to say, the Mriswith Richard killed is dead. Drauka, dead. But it has other meanings, too. Drauka also is a word that represents the souls of the dead.
Pasha leaned forward with a frown.
Are you saying that Drauka, in that sense, can make it mean the bringer of souls?
No, Richard said. He whispered the second meaning of the word.
Spirits. The bringer of spirits.
Yes,
Warren said in a quiet voice.
That is the second interpretation. How many of these different meanings to Drauka are there?
Pasha asked.
Three,
Richard thought.
Three,
Warren said. Richard knew the third.
The underworld,
he whispered as he stared at the word Drauka on the page. The place of the dead. That's the third meaning of Drauka.
Pale as a spirit, Warren leaned toward him. But you don't understand the Haran?
Richard slowly shook his head, his eyes fixed on the page. Warren's tongue darted out to wet his lips.
Please, tell me you don't have Dharan blood.
My father was Darkenrol,
Richard said softly. He was the wizard who ruled Dahara, and before him my grandfather, Panis.
Dear creator,
Warren whispered. Pasha put a hand to Richard's arm as she leaned toward them both.
Underworld? How could it mean underworld?
Because, Warren said, the underworld is the world of the dead. Her brow knit tighter.
But how could it mean the bringer of the underworld? How can you bring the underworld?
Richard stared blankly ahead.
You tear the veil.
The silence echoed around the stone room. Pasha looked from one face to the other. She finally broke the silence.
But I was taught that for a foreign word in a prophecy that had different shades of meaning, you had only to interpret it in context. It should be a simple matter of seeing how it is used to decipher its meaning.
Warren lifted an eyebrow. That's what the argument is about. You see, in this prophecy it speaks of things that could pertain to each of the three possible meanings of the word Drauka. Depending on which meaning was intended, it changes the meaning of the prophecy. That is why it cannot be interpreted with surety. It's like a dog chasing his tail. The more you try, the more you just end up going round and round. This is why I'm so anxious to know the intended meaning of the word Draka. If I could know that, then I might be able to decipher the rest of the prophecy accurately for the first time. I would be the first in 3,000 years to understand it.
Richard pushed his chair away from the table.
Well, as I said, I'm not very good with riddles.
He forced himself to smile.
But I promised to think on it.
Warren brightened.
Would you? I would be so appreciative if you would be able to help me.
Richard squeezed Warren's shoulder.
You have my word.
Pasha rose.
Well, I guess we better get to Richard's lesson. It's getting late.
Thank you both for coming. I rarely have visitors. Pasha leading, the three of them went toward the door. As she passed through the doorway, Richard slapped his hand to the metal plate on the wall. The door grated closed. Pasha beat her fists to the stone as the slit had become too small for her to come back through. She shouted for them to open the door. As the stone sealed closed, her words were cut off, leaving Richard and Warren in silence. Warren stared at the metal plate.
How did you do that? You are just a beginning wizard. You should not be able to affect a shield with your hand for a very long time yet.
Richard didn't have an answer for the question, and so he ignored it. Tell me what you meant about knowing what the sisters would do to you if they caught you telling that kind of lie. Warren's hand went to his collar.
Well, they would hurt me.
You mean they would use the collar's magic to give you pain? Warren nodded as he took a knot of his robes in his fists. Do they do that often? Give us pain with the collar? Warren twisted the knot of robe.
No, not often. But to be a wizard, you must pass a test of pain. They come from time to time and give you pain with the Radahan to see if you have learned enough to pass the test of pain.
And how do you pass the test?